This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, bright telling greedy. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my show, boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them coming. Today see I humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scoochie, Scrooge, many other names, mayor, governor, so many different other names. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96, and you can listen to Cable Bahamas 969. I want to say a wonderful good night to each and every one of you. I hope you enjoy this weekend as much as possible. You know, you truly deserve it. And to each and every one of you who are listening to the show tonight, I hope you can contribute tonight because, you know, I'll start the pace of the show. But I like the callers because the callers really gravitate to the topic. And they provide a good audience and a good listening audience to basically everyone who listens to the show, because what the callers themselves suggest, besides me starting a topic, goes a long way. And, you know, we are finding alternative solutions to the country's problem. So I want to thank the callers, and you guys do a wonderful job. And I want to say to all the listeners, you also do a wonderful job tuning into the show and making the show stay on air. And I appreciate each and every one of you, and I hope you enjoy the show here tonight on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk a little bit about politics. We're going to talk about men seek to seek leadership of the Free National Movement. We're going to see how it goes against opposition leader Michael Pintard. Also, we'd like to address, you know, one or two issues, like against former President Superintendent Charles Murphy, his layoff under the leadership of the new, at that time, Minister of National Security, the Honorable Vian Monroe, and we'd like to discuss that matter. Okay, so before we begin the show, I'd like to give a special announcement to a wonderful lady, Candia, you know, from whom she is just a tremendous lady. She is doing all that she can in her power to be a model citizen, but not only that, to help a lot of at-risk persons in the country. We know that she has an organization, Families of Murdered Victims. But it's not just an organization going out there looking at the victims getting assaulted and losing their lives. She also provides assistance and comfort to the families who are being hurt from these tragic events in the country. She helps with funeral arrangements if the family can't afford to bury their loved one. you know, Candy came from the streets, you know, and she knows it all. So I think she's very passionate about it. And as me, as a person like me, who she is similar to, I have to support her the best way I can, and I use this airways anytime I have the opportunity to assist her, because I think that she's a beacon in this country. She stands out, and I think that she is going to be doing a lot of big stuff for the country. She already has, and she's continuing to grow. So let's continue to support her. And in supporting her, she also wants you to come out and help yourself. You might have a family member who is in need. And here we go. May 4th, let me see what we get here. If you need a job, a resume, a passport picture, and form, just come out May 11, 2024, 11 a.m., R.M. Bailey Park. The National Training Agency also would be out. You'd have the National Health Insurance consultant. If you have a minor infraction, marijuana possession, and you qualify to get your bleach record or expunge, you can come and sign up. And that's R.M. Bailey Park, okay? From 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So, like I said, you know, you also might need something to do with legal consultation, immigration matters. You might need some consultation on immigration matters. Information will be available also out there for you. So please, 11 a.m. tomorrow till 4 p.m. R.M. Bailey Park. And this is what FOM is doing. And this is how you give back, you know, by being able to know what some of the problems are and provide alternative solutions. And thumbs up to Candia and our wonderful organization that continues to grow. And I will continue to support the best way I can. Okay? All right. So, where are we going to start? Okay. A lot of stuff in the news. Okay, so we're going to keep the juicy part to the end. So in the second half of the show, we're going to start the talk. Former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Honorable Hubert Alexander Menes, is seeking leadership of the Free National Movement. And we'd like to talk about that. But before we begin, we want to start talking about what's happening in the news. And we hear from the former prison chief, Charles Murphy. He was put on leave by the new government Minister of National Security, the Honorable Vann Monroe. And Murphy is stating that he was put on leave because the new Minister of National Security did not want to work with him. We might find this disturbing, but this is a part of politics, people, what we have to accept. And that's why we're not growing as a country. Because, you know, Murphy could be a Free National Movement party member. Vann Monroe, he is a Progressive Liberal Party member. His first duty, you know, is party. You know, country comes second. You know, they got to keep the party in place and do what's best for the party. And some of these decisions are not decided by Monroe. They decide by people who are over Monroe, who you might not see. You know, we call them the obligates, you know, the rich people, the powerful people in the country who part of the council members, and they decide what goes on in the party. Okay? So I guess Mr. Monroe was given ultimatum from the powers to be to put Murphy on leave. Murphy is still being paid as part of administrative leave. We could also use, for example, the now Commissioner of Police. Before he was Commissioner of Police, you know, he was put on leave by the former Minister of National Security and the Free National Movement Administration, and that was the Honorable Marvin Dames. So if you look at his tick for tack, So, you know, party members appoint their superintendents of police, I mean the commissioner of police, they pick certain officers, defense officers, and when these people receive these positions, when a new government come in, if their contract is almost up or if they feel that this is the person they cannot work with and they're not part of the organization, they would put them on administrative leave. But the thing is, it hurts the Bahamian taxpayers' money. This is a waste of the Bahamian taxpayers' money. Okay? This money can be going to help fix hospital or the road or scholarship for a kid. But this money is put back into the hands of the Treasury, in the hands of the government, which they would put Charles Murphy on administrative leave, knowing full well he would be compensated. So he's not working. He would be home for a year, 2 years, and he would be getting paid for that. Then they would bring in a new, prison superintendent. You know, like now, you guys got one sworn in. I know him, Mr. Clare, very good. I've sat and talked with him at the Ministry of National Security office on Thompson Boulevard. And he's a very, very smart, intelligent, and very concerning man about the prison condition and the prisoners. And he's upfront on what's happening up there. So I think he is a good pick. You know, he knows the prison in and out. But again, Mr. Murphy was qualified for the job. He was put on administrative leave, you know. He stated that, you know, Monroe said that he couldn't work with him, so that's the reason he was put on administrative leave. Now, that's the taxpayers' money again. Now, in response, the Minister of National Security responded back to the former prison chief, what Mr. Murphy had said. And the Minister of National Security said that Murphy's leave was due to the prison being investigated. And I guess the superintendent, whatever we call him, he was involved in illegal activities or accused of doing illegal activities. You know, there were a lot of drugs smuggling in the prison. You know, I'm not saying he do it, but if he's saying that the prison chief was put on leave because there was an investigation on events happening in the prison, then it means it all falls on Mr. Murphy's head. So when we're looking at those raids and all those phones were being found and drugs and money and sometimes cocaine and whatever was found, contraband, some prison officers themselves were being locked up for smuggling contraband in the prison. So I'm guessing all this point to Murphy. You know, and he was let go, right? And Monroe said, you know, like he said, we let the chief go. Put on administrative leave. Now, all this is on us Bahamian people. Now, this is what I'd be trying to explain to the Bahamian people, whether you're PLP or FNM, and then the majority of people in this country are not inclined to none of these parties. We call the swing voters, and some people are not interested at all. The last general election proves that, you know, election proves that most people was not even interested in the politics of this country or interested in voting. That was one of the lowest voters registry in the history of the country, lowest voters turning out in the history of the country. And a lot of people was just disenfranchised and was going through hell under the former administration. And a lot of people right now are still trying to recover, you know. So, yeah. So, they're going back and forth. All this is on the Bahamian people. Okay? Both political parties use the Bahamian taxpayers' monies for their benefit, sometimes for spite, but mostly for party. You know, what are we paying Mr. Murphy when we put him on administrative leave for about a year or two? What is his monthly salary? What was the salary when he was prison superintendent? Now, what is his base salary now that he is on administrative leave and he's home. I'm guaranteed it's basically the same thing as him being present on his job. So putting him on administrative leave and you're paying him and he's done doing that, and he's going to be in by the prison assistant. But this is where the Bahamian taxpayers is being used like a ping pong ball. When if we look at it, it causes the Bahamian taxpayers too much money. That's why pension is so high in this country. Just a few weeks ago, I was talking about pension. Why do you think pension is so high? We create a lot of pensions for a lot of people who is not deserving of pension, and the Bahamian taxpayers, you know, we are the ones responsible for picking up the slack. Why is the people who mess up everything, cost all this pension, you know, they go live a life of luxury after they do 5, 10, or 15 years in government or 20 years in government. And then the burden is left on our children. You know? It's crazy. You know, so both PLP and FNM, they use their position to manipulate the treasury. Like I said, some for spite, and then some for party obligation. And in fact, you know, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. I believe you put the police commission in place just in case a scandal come up. Eh? You put him in place, you was his boss. I'm not saying Fernando, but I'm just speaking overall all the commissioners. I'm not saying this is true. This is just me giving my little 2 cents. You know, you put the commissioner in place, the party, so if there's a big scandal, they could cover it up. You know, we have seen it. Huh? You know, we might not have all the details like the evidence, but you could read through the line. Let me tell you how you could read through the line. Just like our old Mr. Monroe now, the now Minister of National Security, say he had no agenda against prison chief. Right? A few years ago, we had a prime example with former Commissioner of Police, Alison Greenslade, and then former Minister of National Security, Honorable Marvin Dimms. Now, we both know that both of these were two of the most decorated officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Both of them were sent off to UK, right? To enhance their policing skills, and they get the best training in the world. Now, one of them were from the PLP, one were for the FNM. Now, I can't remember who the minister was at that time. I don't know if a PLP or FNM was in power, who gave Mr. Greenslade the opportunity to be Commissioner of Police. Now, mind you, him and Marvin Dimms going off together, and they trained, they were fighting for the position, but I still think it came down to party politics. One was FNM, and one was PLP, and I guess the PLP was in power, and they appointed, I could be wrong, and they appointed Greenslade as next Commissioner of Police over Marvin Dimms, okay? And the minister at that time, he said the same thing when Monroe said now. Monroe said there was no agenda, but he said similar words to why Greenslade was chosen over Marvin Dimms. Marvin Dimms got all his documents, what he got from studying overseas, and opportunity use, which was provided by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So he took those opportunities and he stayed on the force for a few years. Then he, whilst he was on the force, he was in charge of the airport. I can remember seeing him to the airport. Richie was doing a very good job, you know, as running the district and running the airport, you know. He was very good at that. He was very generous to the citizens and guests. You know, he was out there. He was knocking biggity. You know, you could talk to him, and he was seeing your cop. You know, I saw him out there a few times, and he's directing traffic. You know, he was doing a tremendous job, though. Good cop. At least two of them were good cop. But again, like I said, political. So, you know, if I'm correct, this is my interpretation, again, speak with mom, and then when he could look at the scenario and study the course of action, what led to him deciding to leave the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And the reason was because he didn't want to work under the Commissioner of Police, which is Allison Greenslade. Okay? So he left and he ran, got himself selected as a candidate for the Free National Movement in the upcoming general election against the PLP. And then we saw when it all boiled down, the Free National Movement won the general election. And again, it was because the people were fed up with the Honorable Prime Minister Perry Glasser and Christie and his cabinet. Because the TNC said, you know, go and do, go to God and all that crap. And, you know, sticking up your middle finger, ask the Prime Minister, one for all and all for one, you know. This was the downfall. At the time, the Treasury and the economy was one of the best in the history of the country, and they still lose the election because of what they said to the Bahamian people, how they were treating the Bahamian people. We must remember these things now. And that led to the FNM getting in power. And when they got in power, we saw where the Minister of National Security, now Marvin Dames, now is the boss of the commissioner. And then he said, you know, when we know what was going to happen, you know, like I said, there's no evidence, but the facts, like how we see it, everything playing out, we get to know what's going to happen when Marvin Dames become Minister of National Security. Everyone said this, that once he become Minister of National Security, Greenslade is out there. And this was on the streets. This is the kind of conversation we have. And we want the powers to be in the House of Assembly and all those politicians who think they're smart enough that we, instead of this discussion, we know things happen. We know that things is going to happen based on the facts and the expression and the words that are said in the House of Parliament. And we said all this. And then we look, Minister of National Security at the time, Marvin Dames, he came on TV, and he started to say, no, we're not going to move Allison Greenslade, you know? Boy, when you look at the next year and a half, he is ambassador. And then we had a new commissioner of police, which was appointed by the Free National Movement. I believe all this is the plan to keep the people in place, and that anytime that something goes on corrupt in government and we need to cover it, we get our mind in place. Now, that's just my two cents, okay? That's just my two cents, and that's how I feel about it, you know? That's how I feel about it. So, it's, again, taxpayers' money. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, Monroe saying there's no agenda. Mr. Van Monroe, Minister of National Security, there's an agenda. There's a party agenda. Okay? And if you're not a part of the party, hey, the contract and the job got to go to someone in the PLP. Now, in some cases, you know, the Honorable Prime Minister and Chester Cooper, they seem to be doing a so far good job of governing. Okay, they ain't come up with too much bad publicity. The Prime Ministers are humble. The Deputy Prime Ministers are humble. They ain't come up with no scandals and et cetera. So, you know, they just need to work on empowering the people more. You know, focus these 2 years on the people. Housing and cleaning up the area. Small business. Keep the parks active for the kids, you know. Get community centers up and running. We need to find ways we can get healthy fruits and vegetables in the schools and in the hands of the community. You know, this is the kind of stuff the government is going to have to focus on if they want to repeat as government. In fact, I believe they're going to repeat as government. But repeating is one thing. You know, winning the election is one thing. But if you have the chance to make the lives of a lot of at-risk young females and males and older people in the country who have lost their way and looking for an opportunity and looking for a government that is going to provide an opportunity for them to see their full potentials are in the country. And that's the kind of government we want, you know. I hope that the politicians who are running for this position understand that the lives of Bahamians are at stake, you know. I know you get your party, but you got to understand that when you go before God, God could say to each and every one of you, you guys had a great opportunity to help so many people. But because of greed and blindness, you failed to help so many. And look what you achieve. You achieve all these millions and 100 million, 50 million in politics. And it's the Bahamian people money. Even though you might do it legally, but it's still illegal because you still use as a politician to milk and get backdoor deals, you know, for your company or your family. We're talking about customs, we're talking about immigration. You know, you have access to these things because you know you're a member of parliament and you know the next member in that department. So they pull strings for you and make it easier for you as a party member. But for us as Bahamians, we have to go through the whole nine yard. And it's so many things that's unfair in this country. You know, unfair for us. You know, so I just encourage those who are wiring for power in this country, understand that one day you're going to be judged. All this power you're seeking, and you know, one day it's going to be done. And you're going to have to give an account. And when you have to give an account, you could help, like I say, so many, but greed. You know, what sense you can't 100 million with you? Can't keep them on 40 or on 50 and say, you know what? Let's do some programs and make sure we build some houses out of my own pocket or let's see how many kids we could get scholarship or help them in their small businesses, etc. And let's keep wrecking. Let's tutor them and let's make this country better. Let's make some other millionaires and thousandaires in the country. See, that's what we need if we want to change the trajectory of this country. You know, it can't just be politics. You understand? And I understand these things. So, okay. All right. So, we deal with that. Okay. So now I'm going to talk about the second part. And to me, I would say this. When I was talking about the Progressive Liberal Party, right? This is just my two cents. Based on how we're walking around in the stores and talking to people on the streets, I talked to a lot of business people. The directory right now for the Progressive Party is that they could win the next general election. Because a lot of business people like the way they're doing business. Like I said, the government of this country right now has to say to itself now, it's the people's time. And mean it. Get on the ground. You understand? You guys can't repeat. Because right now, it would take a breakdown in the Progressive Liberal Party for them to lose the next general election. I mean, scandals have to emerge inside the party. But so far, we have not seen none that the opposition can start a spark on. Now, what has happened with the opposition, right? I feel that the Progressive Party could go 15 years. That's just my say. This is just my say. I feel that Brave Davis would be able to win again. Okay? I feel after that, Chester Cooper seems to be a great leader. And I feel that he's going to take the ram after, if the PRP is successful in the next general election. I feel Chester Cooper would be a great leader. So I think they have a chance to go 15 years. But in order to do that, you guys are going to start to have to work on the ground level in this country. As far as the structure of the party, it's good. You know, you have a humble prime minister. You have a humble deputy prime minister. You know, all it takes now is to start, finish the hospitals, finish the roads. I see the wonderful tree trimming that the government, the Bahamas is trimming the trees, preparing for the hurricane season, doing like what Jamaicans do before the hurricane season. You know, I said on the show that they was not cutting down the trees on the side of the road. But now in the last 3 weeks to the month, I'm seeing that the government officials now are going around along with BPL and they're shaving the trees, preparing the lines for the hurricane season, because the trees are the ones that really do the damage, cause the blackout, because when the branches go through the electric wire, it makes them touch. So I want to give credit to the Bahamas government. I want to give credit to BPL. And also, when you're cutting down the trees, also be able to remove it. I see you're removing it in a timely fashion. A few years ago, BPL used to just cut the trees and then leave them right there where they cut them and did not remove the trash. It's not good as a public corporation to actually be irresponsible, knowing that you cut down the debris and then you're going to leave them there when you're a big major company, when you get dumpsters there. So the minute you cut those down, you have a dumpster truck there to remove them. So I'll just give a thumbs up. You guys are doing a tremendous job. The road works that the government is doing now, they're going to the inner city communities and they're paving the road, you know, so that's a plus. And then business-wise, talking to a lot of business people, they're saying this government got to do business. People from the Free National Movement and from other business people, you know, are saying the same thing. You know, the government has the economy, you know, everyone is working well. They're also saying that, you know, with 9 million visitors to our shores, you know, I would advise this government also to find a way on how they can introduce tourism, which are customers, to the close proximity of these areas of Mason Addition, Grandstand, Fort Charlotte, those areas that are in walking distance to Bass Creek. I'm working on turning my small community into economy, you know, through my private partners. It's a lot of work. You know, I'm always tired. I just want to be able to know I work tirelessly on the ground. Just waking and it's slow, but pinching here, pinching there, making progress. You know, slow, but guess what? Making good progress. We're seeing the tourists coming now. We're just waking on beautifying and setting these stalls up. You know, we're almost there, you know. Almost down. But I'd like to encourage the government to get the kids into the tourism industry, to get the Junkanoo groups into the tourism industry, and get them to be able to use their skills, you know, as professional doll makers and hair braiders and jet ski operators and, you know, agricultural specialists, you know, because we need a lot of fruits and vegetables, coconut water and stuff. So there's so many small businesses that can be created in the tourism industry that could be very beneficial to the residents of these inner city communities, and then the money could trickle down, you know, trickle down effect. You know, so I just want to encourage the government to think about these things on how you're going to empower the people, because it's about the people now. You know, you have all the investment. Chester Cooper is doing a tremendously great job, you know, of bringing investments to the Bahamas. The Prime Minister is doing a wonderful, great job. But, sir, you're bringing billions and millions. We need to find a way on how we can make millions for the Bahamian people in these areas. You're making billions by the snap of your finger. All kind of investors, prime minister, think about this. But what investment are we going to make for the Bahamian people over there? That's what you need to think about. And it's in the tourism industry. It's in the fishing industry. Okay? Yeah. Okay, now. Let me get down to this now. A few weeks ago, I talked about the opposition leader, Michael Pentat. I was the first to say this. So there was a recording played on Guardian Radio right here. I can't remember what show it was on, but the Honorable, what's his name, Brendan McCartney, former Minister of Immigration under the Free National Movement Administration. I think he was on Guardian Radio, and he was on his radio, and he made a statement stating that, you know, he taking that former Prime Minister, Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis, deserves a second chance. And he gave an excuse for Minnis when he said that he inherit, Dorian, he inherit COVID-19. Well, listen. Mr. McCartney, when you're running to be a leader of the country, these things are on the book. You're supposed to train for these things. You're supposed to be ready for these things. So once you say in your mind, you want to be a leader in the country. You want to be a politician. You know, because you got to look at what responsibility a politician has, eh? When he become a politician, and natural disasters are in the book. So we could say, you know, we never seen them like Dorian. That could be true, but the natural disaster manual teaches you how to deal with these issues. In fact, he could have help. When former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram and former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie, both of them want to serve two terms. Both of them were serving close to over 90 years in the House of Parliament combined together. And they was asking the Prime Minister if he could help them with Dorian. But he was too arrogant. And he said no. When these two men could have been spearheading the operation in Abaco. And they would have been able to deal with the international community, would take the pressure off him as Prime Minister. And he could have focused more. You know, focus more on not locking on the country. Focus more on not putting the country under martial law. You know, he'd be sticking out under martial law. But he still has to understand that he so-called inherit, they say he inherit, Brendan McCartney say he inherit Dorian, and he inherit COVID-19, but he also inherit a poverty-stricken country, people, a high crime rate, you know, high unemployment. You know, these things what we want you to focus on. You know, we want the government of the country to focus on these things: housing, you know, dialect vehicles, new hospital, you know, small business. You understand? These are the things we want the government to focus on. In fact, I'm encouraging people who are listening to the show, ask your MP and tell your MP what you want as a representative in your community. And one of the first things I would ask them is, first of all, let us know all the government programs that are beneficial to the Bahamian people, that government talks on TV and radio, but we don't get to hear it from the horse's mouth. So we would like to know about small business. We would like to know where we can go to get this from the Ministry of Health. You know, there's rat poison given out, you know, to residents. You know, you as minister could let us know, a citizen, where to go to get a supply of rat poison, or what kind of medication is available at the Princess Market Hospital for residents in your community. You know, where can I go to sign up for the small business development? Who can assist me, you know, with tree trimming or whatever in my yard? Or how can I get this dialect vehicle removed in my yard? So we like to know these things. We like to see these things from our ministers, from our minister. You know? Okay, let me see. We can take this one call. Let me see if I can get you on. We can take this one call. And then when I come back, I want to explain Minnis and Pintat, what I think. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon, Smoochie.
Good afternoon to you.
All is correct.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Hey, Smoochie.
Hey.
Are you talking about the game of rat poison? Why you let them animal love people hate, kill up all the cat and cut out all the dog, them production system, I think, talk about it, look it up, but, and they ain't carry no rat.
You mean, yeah,
rat,
that's right.
Rat is my enemy, man.
That's right. You talking rat. About the dog? You talking
see,
about
the cat? The cat is take care of rat.
Right.
Poison will poison everything else. You know, poison. Cat is eat rat. We can get rid of them being that way, but then rotten and rotten, please stink.
I agree with you.
I mean, look here, cat's so simple to get and grow, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, everything about money. You ain't got to put nothing in for the cat. Just let it be born and live its life.
Yeah.
And don't be killing them. Let them just go about, do their job, man. They, yeah. They start to be clean.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but Scroogey.
Yes, sir.
In reference to them other people who are all about here and they can fly, they fly. I mean, I see a couple flag today. Scroogey, you think it's fair for people of Haiti? Every year, they irritate us, but they have the flag there on the 18th, right? Their country needs them to go home, to go win their country over from barbecue, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Why are they here? Why are they here and flying their flag like they're so proud? All them stand about, let me stand about the road, this and that and that. Man, them people need to go home and fight for their country, especially all these man with Ronnie and things like that. Get the airbagging, man. I mean, they hating, you know.
Yes, sir.
But they don't like, barbecue don't like no one in their country. They want their own country, their own solution, and they kill their own. Why be bringing the people here?
Mm.
Why the PM talking about the, when he talk about the gang? Huh? And they bring a gang of them here, and they come from gang. Every one of them who go on that boat come from gang.
Mm.
The gangs run the dock. Why a prime minister? Not just, what do you name him? Davis, right? Even minister of all them. Mm. Why do they do that?
Mm.
They know where them people is.
Mm.
Them people kill their own. What's winning about that? And there's more of them here.
I go until you finish.
What kind of trick this is? Our government got to be stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really stupid. They got no interest with him. No time at all. They allowing them people to just do whatever they want to do. And Haiti don't want no one to infiltrate inside their business.
Mm.
They want their own solution. Behemoths want their own solution. We don't need to have people who are non-behemoths even on our voters' list.
Mm.
Honestly, man. And this politics go on and on and on and on and on. The politicians, they're so corrupt.
Mm.
They write down. I mean, come on, man.
Mm.
Why do you got to live like this? You're like hating people, you know. And not but being xenophobic.
Mm.
You know, because guess what? The biggest xenophobes are Haitians. Barbecues, they go, huh? They don't want no one in their country. They don't want no one to be taken to run in their country or nothing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So why in our country we just allow this nonsense to go on and think like we stupid?
Mm-hmm.
This year, the government shouldn't even allow that flag. They foolishness happen in our country. We have our own flag. If you can't fly on our flag, go home.
Thank you.
Honestly, man.
Thank you very much.
You every know. Corner you turn on, you're seeing them all about the places. Like, and they got run more random here and open up shop on blocking the sidewalk.
Mm.
Huh? But they let fruit stand and think of the government passing up and down is all right. Let that be a behemoth. Mm. You know, we got to keep it real in this country, man.
Yes,
every
sir.
Single day, seeing foolishness, right?
Yes, sir.
They call it like that, man. The government need it. We are not retarded people, government. Stop doing this like we stupid government. Call it like that, right?
Okay, call
they're letting all these other people come here and do whatever they want to do and stagnate and keep the behemoth down, huh?
Thank you very much. Thank you very
much. Get
a
life by government, right?
Thank you very much.
Call like that, by seriously, man.
Bless.
How you going, though?
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. You know, people express themselves, you know, and there's people who have their own opinions on what's going on in the country, and they have their way of expressing themselves, you know. And the gentleman is expressing himself, you know. But first thing I want to say to him is that how we got ourselves in this mess. First of all, we need to understand that we signed on to international laws, okay, that says that, you know, we have to abide by international law. Now, this is not me saying this. You know, we have our own laws about immigration and stuff like that. But we must remember that over the course of the last 60, 70, 80 years in this country, there was a lot of laws breaking by people who held the position of power when they were supposed to be upheld in the law. They were the ones who was given out birth certificate. They were the ones who were given out voters registry cards. They were the ones who were selling illegal immigrants who came on the boat. There are some who were here who went through the procedure. Then you have a lot who came on the boat who, you know, looking for status. Some of these people were used for voting rights in the country. So many of our immigration ministers, many of our immigration officers, many of our politicians should be held accountable for what's happening in our country now. Okay? The gentleman said there's so many Haitian nationals, people, you know, of nationality here. You know, it's how we gotta have to look at it. There are some things we can't change in the country. You know, it's sad. You know, we can't do nothing basically to get the people of the country, you know. We can't even, you know, it's all we can do now is try to protect our seas, don't regulate no more people coming in the country. We have to make sure that those who are living here in the country, you know, we have to get them registered. We have to put some of these people on our, how I should say it, they are disenfranchised. We have to put people on like temporary citizenship, whereas they could get temporary citizenship based on their contribution to the country. They learn the Bahamian culture. They learn the Bahamian way. You know, they keep themselves out of trouble a certain amount of time. Then they can become full-fledged Bahamians, you know. You know, the gentleman was talking about Haiti don't want no one to interfere in our country's affair. Well, I won't blame him either, because I'm not taking it for nobody. But you need to look at the history of Haiti, and you'd see that Haiti, you know, was a country that was fighting for basically all the black people in the Caribbean, you know. And they were subjugated by France, America, and a few other countries for the riches that was in their country, that is still in their country today. So they destabilized Haiti, and they put presidents in Haiti just so that they could deprive the Haitian people of the riches in their country. Just like we're talking about natural resources over here in the country. You know, they have a mine in Haiti that has some of the richest and most expensive mineral in the world in Haiti. And the Haitian only get a certain percent of that. And they have some of the, they find gold, silver, and copper 15 years ago in Haiti, you know. And because they have had so many different presidents handpicked by the European countries, and they were not put in there to help the benefit of the Haitian people. They were put in there to control and to be, how I just say, they were put there so that they can control the Haitian people, natural resources, and ship it out to the European countries that use these raw minerals for their war machines, their planes, their space shuttles, their phones, and et cetera, and et cetera. So they don't want no one hand picking their president. Because when you really look at it, go do your history yourself, you'd see that all those presidents were handpicked by the U.S. Some were assassinated by the U.S. just recently. So the gentleman was talking about barbecue. Barbecue don't run the whole of Haiti. You think one man can run the whole of Haiti? You think one man can run Nassau? Barbecue running one part of Haiti. He might have a lot of influence in the country. He don't speak for all Haitians in the country. You understand? We must understand Haiti's a big place. And those corporations over there, they have other gangsters working for them, who they're paying money to. Now, that's how things run. The country is destabilized, right? But their company is there that are still functional, right? That are not being damaged, right? Your paying company, you have all kinds of different companies there, still running in Haiti. So they hire other gangsters and give them incentive and tell them, look, yeah, hey, protect the streets, protect around my business area. That's how things run. You know, one man can control no Haiti. You think barbecue hole running a whole Haiti? A Haitian nation can tell you that. If barbecue goes someplace else, he'd get barbecue too. Do you understand? Who you see? One man running the United States of America with millions of people? Pablo Escobar running Colombia? You think he's running the whole Colombia? Yeah, other guys there too. Other families, other people just like that. You know? And I know a lot of people are really mad to see, you know, Asian population, you know. It's not the fault of the Bahamian people. It's the fault of the Bahamian government. That's at fault for this predicament we're in. CBs get blamed, you know. And they call us, say, you think of the baby people fool? No, we ain't fool. We just ain't had the power. We elect them. And they is the one who do all these back door checks and get people, citizens, get people passed. But not me and you. Not me and you. It's our government. Okay? It's our government at fault. Our Ministry of Immigration is at fault. You heard the Minister of National Security, the Prime Minister, said the other day that they can't take on the screen when the international organization was saying with the gangs taking over Haiti, allow these people to come in your country. You see the Prime Minister and Minister of National Security say, we have our own problems here and we're not going to do it. So international bodies is even trying to force the government. And the government itself is saying that, no, we can't. We can't. We are not allowing it. So that's very difficult situation. All we have to do now, like I said, protect the seas. Anyone coming in the country now, we have to see how we're going to be able to ship them back or see if we could citizenize, get them citizenship. Those who come illegally, we're just going to send them back. Those who are here, we're going to regulate. And like I said, give them temporary citizenship. And once they contribute and they stay out of trouble, and they become a human citizen. But you also can revoke it if they become criminals and they use it as a way to smuggle in or the Haitian national illegally in the country and use the citizenship in the wrong manner. It can't and will be taken away. And you can also be shipped out of the country. You know, that's the only thing I want to say on that. I'm going to take this next call and I want to get to the opposition leader, Michael Pintat. And one of the reasons I feel that, this is one of the reasons why I feel that the Free National Movement will lose in general election, the next general election coming up in the next year or so. That's my opinion. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Yes, good evening, Valentino. I only want to help you out with your callers who are calling in about the Haitian problem.
Yes, ma'am.
Please tell them, go call one show. The leader, the woman them, the man them, the people them, the children them.
Yes, ma'am.
He has all the answers.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
They need not call no other show. Because I know who, what, and why. And it's not our nation leaders. It's not the PLP prime ministers. It's the FNM prime ministers. Let him, he will tell them. Tell them, keep calling that show and get the answers from Mr. Rodney Monco.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You. Good night.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Call the show. Bye.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Say, don't call a show. Do you want to call? Yeah. Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am. But like I said, you know, there's a lot we're going to have to do. And one thing we're going to do, we're going to stop the illegal immigrants coming in the country and giving them status in the country unless they go through the right procedures. You know, like everyone says, there's too much screening. You know, for me, you know, I don't discriminate, but I understand what everyone else is feeling in the country because they feel it's a screen on them. And they has a right to, you know, they has a right to. You know, to complain. But I'm not one person going to preach hate or jealousy or envy. And the callers are not saying preaching hate or jealousy or envy. They're saying that, you know, we have our own problems. We want to deal with it ourselves. And it's a screening on the general public, you know. So, yeah. So, okay. This is my observation, you know. As the former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis. He is now challenging the Honorable Michael Pintat, who is now the opposition leader in the House of Parliament for leadership of the Free National Movement. Now, first, let me say this. Sometimes we have to understand that you're not going to win the election, okay? Sometimes you know that this government's going to win again. Let me give you a prime example. When we had the first, I think it was the first five or six members of parliament, when the PLP first formed, the Taylor them and et cetera, they went against the UBP. And they were able to get four or five. See, they can't get it correct, right? Knowing they was going to lose. But the object is to get some of the PLP as members of parliament so that they have the opportunity when they go in parliament, they could speak for the people. And this gained traction. You understand? So they became a strong opposition now that they have a few members of parliament. Right? Because they knew they could not be the UBP. So at the current state, with the Free National Movement, this is just my observation. I study these things, you know. I been run prime ministers, okay? If you listen to the show, I've been telling you who's going to win the election for the last 3 years on the show and who's going to lose the election and the reason why. Just as well a lot of the behaving public out there, because we could see things and tell you. So this is my observation. I feel that us coming out about 3.5 years or 4 years under the Hubert Alexander Menace administration, when they won the inner city communities, when they won the inner city community, that was the greatest opportunity for the Free National Movement ever in the country. That was the second time I think they won being a grandstand, right? They had the inner city communities, but they failed to empower the inner city communities. And then, like Randall McCartney said, he inherited Dorian and COVID-19. And all of this puts a sour taste in the Bahamian people's mouth, because some things were said by the former prime minister that sent chills of the Bahamian people. He locked us down, you know? And people would say, well, he's the prime minister, he saved a lot of lives. Well, he also caused people a lot of lives. He also caused the people their relationship. He also caused a lot of people to get put out. He caused a lot of people also to commit suicide. Huh? He caused a lot of people, you know, a lot of stress. Because that lockdown, and then with the policing, you know, the policing was hard, you know. It wasn't merciful, you know. You can't understand, you were dealing with poor people, broken people. We just saying where we had, how much, 78% in child abuse reported, okay? Huh? 47 murders, 27 murders in January, right? I'm just saying, then before that, that's just, yeah. But under that administration, all of these things, you should have taken into account that you don't want to be such a hard leader, you know? You don't need to be such a hard leader in such a hard time. People were looking for comfort, the Free National Movement. People were looking for comfort. People were looking for a government that cares about them in that time of need. You seeing kids, you know, selling coconut, getting locked up on the side of the road. People going to the palm to carry Carry Libido. Food to their loved ones around the corner, getting locked up. You know, the police were absolute. You know, you couldn't say nothing to the police. They run the streets, defense force, you know. Bahamian citizens were locked down like animals. You understand? Only essential workers, you know, the government provided for. But everything else, when the prime minister locked down the country, there was given no incentive. So he left everyone to fend for themselves when we were done coming out of the hot 5 years of the previous government that disrespected the Bahamian people. Now you inherit. You inherit it. It's like you leaders don't learn nothing. You all know the suffering Bahamian people going on. You look at the hospital, you see the people suffering. You look on the street, you see the people suffering. Huh? What's wrong with you guys? When you hold leadership, you have to have compassion, knowing that you inherit a violent community, a poverty-stricken community, a family structure completely destroyed. And then you will still be hard on the people. And then you will talk about sometimes you got to break the people's constitutional rights. So you living good. You don't have to worry about nothing. You could get health care. You could have gone. You ain't got no prison, but you could have gone to doctor's hospital. Yeah? You have access to plane. You have access to private doctors. You get millions of dollars and you deserve that. You have all government agency. You have friends in the party who are business people. So when you need gas, you could just ride down there. You're telling us don't go for no gas, but you could ride down there by your daddy and get gas. Or your daddy's gas station was open. These are things that we saw happening. You know, you log down all the rest of the gas station, but your daddy's gas station open. Huh? So your daddy better than the people? So let me get to the point now. Okay. Sometimes you ain't gonna win the election. And as it stands now, with the blundering going on with the Free National Movement, I ain't saying the honorable former prime minister don't deserve a second chance, okay? If the party members won't give him a second chance, that's all good. Okay? I feel that you should have been prepared to lead this country. You're supposed to know exactly what needs to happen based on your research since you're wired to be the government and the prime minister of the country on the top spot. You know? So, I feel that if the party members won't give him a shot for him to be opposition leader, that don't mean he's going to win the general election. I don't think even Michael Penn thought the Free National Movement is going to win the general election because, like I said, a lot of people, you know, are going to say, you know, let's give the PLP a next chance. And with the disarray now, with Menace saying that he wants to challenge the leadership of the Free National Movement shows you the disarray and the disrespect they have for the opposition leader. We have former parliamentarian like Desmond Bannister. He's speaking against Michael Pintat. I don't think he hates Michael Pintat. I just feel that he feels that Michael Pintat doesn't have the charismatic approach to win the voters over. We had the former Minister of Immigration under the Free National Movement, Brendan McCartney. He is siding also with Menace. And he said that, you know, we should give Menace a second chance. So all of this, based on the fact that the PLP party is not doing no scandals. Now, they could be doing some secret scandals, but they're keeping quiet. But the prime minister and the deputy prime minister and a few ministers, they are humble. The government's doing some stuff, okay? So I feel that, you know, what the party's supposed to be doing, the Free National Movement, that's what I'd do if I was them. I would say, you know, let's try to get strong. Let's see if we could get on 5-6 seats come up in this next general election. You all know this. Everyone can tell you this. Anyone to call us on who listen to me right now would agree. If you want to disagree, it's your right. But I know a lot of people listen right now, and they would side what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying the government is doing a perfectly good job dealing with us, the poor people. But, you know, they could step it up. But say, if people were to go to the polls today, I think that the PLP would be the next government of the country. Right? So I think that with Michael Pintat, Desmond Bannister, and what's his name, Brendan McCartney, you know, and I think Mr. McCartney singing for his cake, you know, because he was out here 3 weeks ago, and that's when I picked something up. See, I could read between the lines, you see? I could read between the lines when he said that, you know, give Menace a second chance. That means he have no faith in Michael Pintat. That means he wants Menace to be the opposition leader. Then there's something for him. See, that's why I say these people don't care about this country. They only care about themselves. You understand? They ain't worrying about me or you. They worrying about them. You understand? And that's wrong. Because it's not just about you. You got to look at the country. You don't look at the nose and see people sleeping in a car or a mother saying she ain't getting a need. Someone need roof over their head. You know, all of this stuff. These things don't bother you guys. Huh? So that's just my take on it. I don't feel that they're going to be able to win. I think that they need to prepare themselves to see under Michael Pintat, prepare themselves to see if they can win a few seats, then prepare themselves, you know, like I said, become a stronger opposition, speak on things like, I like the opposition do this. See, Mr. Pintat, you're not speaking on behalf of the Maiman people. You know, when you want to speak, you need to address things like the Minister of Juan Miller. Minister of Environment, he stated that his ministry want to go through and buy abandoned houses and fix them up, right? Opposition leader Michael Pintat, you now supposed to have a minister who's speaking on these same words that the governing party, Juan Miller, said that he would like to go in these inner city communities around the country and buy these vacant lots and turn these vacant lots and homes into community centers or training centers or homes, right? So we need for you as the opposition leader to speak on these type of matters. We also need to speak on you on police abuse. You know, use the opposition. Speak for other people. Speak for the people. See, you guys just speaking on the business aspect of it. Speak up on the prison condition. Speak on the prison condition. Speak on poverty. How are you going to improve on poverty? Speak on the small business. You know, we want the opposition to speak on these matters. You know, what are most important to us? Speak on the hospital. We need updates on the hospital. You know, we need some solutions from the opposition as well. You know, Mr. Pintat, honestly, they want to out you. I don't think it's going to make a difference if Menace was there, because you're not going to win the next general election. We're going to take this call. Red caller, you're on Inside the Inner City.
Golly, this is a stock in the way from long with you, Scrooge.
Hey, what's up?
How are you, man? Raymond Darling Ferguson here. Couple of things I want to say, right? One is, right, the government got to do something with people that are squatting on people's property, okay? And you talked about, or somebody talked about them, people like the government or what's his name? Vaughn, right? Miller talked about dealing on people's property or something of that sort.
Vaughn Miller, yeah.
Well, see, Vaughn is my boy, but he's talking foolishness. You just don't go around taking people's property just like that. The people may die, right? But they have family. And every property in the Bahamas are registered. So all you got to do is go do some work and see who had owned the property. And the family, if they had died, look for the nearest family or the family. Stop doing foolishness to the Bahamian people.
I think what you're saying right there is exactly what they're doing. They're going to try to find out who owns it. And if no one owns it, if they have a family, they try to buy
it. Somebody had to own it.
Yes, that's what they're doing.
Every property in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Are registered by somebody. They've got somebody's signature to it. Who had bought it from whoever, right?
Yes, sir.
So what I am saying now, we have more people in the Bahamas today, right? When we go back from before we became independent or before the PLP took over in 68,
yes,
right?
Sir.
The thing is, do right to the Bahamian people, because it's the Bahamian people siblings or people offspring on. Give it to them.
Yes.
Do justice, law and order in this country.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Other thing is, right, something else you said, oh boy, got away from me. When it comes up, I'm going to call you. But we need justice and law
and
order
in
this country. And people need to work for what they want. Or what they need. See, because before I got blind, I used to work, and other people, I know a lot of, just about everybody in this country had a job, working for what they want. Where this freebie came from? That's a bunch of bull.
You know, if
okay?
You, yes, sir.
We paying, hello? Hello? We paying our tax money, okay? To live right, okay?
Yes,
to
sir.
Live truthful. To live under the law.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Thank you.
We ain't breaking any law.
Yes,
so
sir.
So y'all don't break any law.
Yes, sir.
Give the people what is theirs.
Yes, sir.
Or the people's family.
Yes,
or
sir.
Their offspring.
Yes, sir.
Stop doing talk and foolishness in this country.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Before I go, don't forget, every one of us has a vote.
Yes.
And you are nothing without our vote.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the support what Raymond is saying, according to what the minister's them was saying, you know, because I was sitting down to the meeting, even before them, they were going to check and see how long the property being there, if any family members were still living. And if there's family members still living and they wasn't doing nothing with the property, and the property has been sitting on there for 40, 50 years, where none of the residents or relatives who own the property has even been there to clean up the property all those years. And what happens is that they leave the neighbors in the community because the house is left unattended or maintained. People in the community start to put trash and park old cars. Then the garbage starts to build up on this property. Then you have family members who own the property don't like one another, you know. So the property stays there. People in the community uses these spots to hide drugs, snatch purse, or go have sex with young girls in these same abandoned buildings that are available and houses in this community. Now, they'd be a sore eye to the community. The people who own these properties don't even come around. Don't even check for these property. So some of these properties have been sitting out for 40, 50 years doing nothing. Man, like Raymond said, their family members could get together and say, you know what? You're the second generation. Let's give it to our niece or our cousin and let them fix it up. So what the government is saying, right, if the property is there and it's doing harm to the community, then the people who own the property is not cleaning it down, not taking care of it. It is staying there abandoned with rot, roaches, sanity, and a sore eye to the community. When, like I said, some of these houses and family members can't get along and they don't like one another. So the property stays there and be a sore eye, not only for the family, because the family don't even live in the community anymore. The family lives out the area, and they leave the abandoned houses in these communities. And you know what happens? Rot, roaches, sanity, and it becomes a dump site. It becomes a drug haven. It becomes a place where sexual assault, sex is be given up. Drugs is be sharing. It becomes a place of a hotspot where young guys come and hang, and then shooting starts there. They hide guns there. They hide drugs there. You understand? So the government is saying that if they do a background check, they've seen the property being there for 20, 40 years, they check with family, ask them for a reasonable price, and say, you know what, we'd like to put up a community center, or we'd like to put up a training center, or we'd like to make it in the low-cost homes for the family member, or if they buy it from the family, give it to a low-cost, give it to a family, at-risk mom or at-risk father or disabled person, give them the house and pay the family off. Because some of these families can't get along. I'm not saying take no one property, but I want to say this. You're a property sitting in this country for 50 years and no family member or 40 years or 20 years has come to claim, to even claim the property. They just leave it in the community. Okay? We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the City.
Scrooge,
hey.
What I remember what I wanted to say, right? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Those people that are living on properties in the neighborhoods, what doesn't have any flush toilet only, outside toilet, which stinking up the place, and they don't call the people to clean it, or they don't throw any cobalt in it.
Yes, sir.
They are hard. The government shouldn't allow that, okay?
Yes, sir.
My last point is, right? People that living in people's house, right? Government should, and don't want to come out, believe that they have rights. You know, people could take people out of their own out of their houses, right? But people would live in people's houses, but believe they can't come out because of that stealing law in which they had passed. So they got to fix that. You see, because if the owners of the property is got to deal with it themselves, they're not going to be a big problem. Mm. So the nastiness in the law, being established here in the Bahamas, got to stop.
Yes.
You see, that's the reason why people don't care about what government says. You see what I'm saying? That's why so much foolishness are happening in this country today. If you go back from 68, right, and check to see how many people we had, and you talked about the most people ever voted was this last time. You see, we got to go back.
I said the last.
From way back.
I said that's the
and
last.
And see how many people we had and how much people voted. Okay, you just can't say this is the largest.
Excuse me. You listening wrong. You right or wrong. I was saying. If you look at that was the least amount of people registered in that general election going under the Free National Movement.
Right.
So I know what you're talking about just now.
You said that's the least. What happened in the last general election?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what I am saying is right. During this last election, we had more people living in the Bahamas. So what I am saying is, right?
No, the population. No, the population got bigger, but I'm saying this
yeah,
is...
Yes, but still, yeah, what I am saying, right? Go back to 68 to now.
That's
so
only
about 100.
That's only about 80 or 90,000 people around the time, so I know that. Because you do not yellow weather, you do not pine with God, you don't want none of these
yeah,
subdivisions.
But see, you want to be sure what you're telling the behavior.
No, I know, because when the hospital was built, they show you how many people with a hospital could accommodate and how much people was in the country when the hospital was built. So mm-hmm. based on that time, when Sir Lyndon Pillen was prime minister, they told you how much people was in the country. There's 100,000+ people in the country when Sir Lyndon Pillen was run. And like I said again, Pine with Garden, Yellow Elder Garden, all these subdivisions were not
there. Yeah, but my point, when Sir Lyndon was around, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know, when he established general election, when he put general election to the people, how many people had voted at that time?
We're having a discussion on the subject, and they weren't even important. It's not even important, so I didn't want to just get on for the next topic.
Yeah, but we want to know what's happening. We want truth and fact.
Yeah, well,
so we could calculate. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
so we could add or subtract. We just don't want to speculate. Better. We want truth and facts.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So we were talking about why I feel the Free National Movement will win the next general election. I think that the people who looking for leadership, you know, they want to oust Michael Pintard. Why you want to oust Michael Pintard? Why you all believe that he doesn't have what it takes? Michael Pintard has what it takes. It's just that right now at this time, you can't win the general election. Not the way the traction of your party going. You're all dysfunctional. How are you going to win the next general election when you lose all the grassroots voters? It's going to take you at least 10, 15 years to get back in power. On the rate you're going now, I don't see it happening, you know? I don't see it happening. The streets ain't feeling it. And it ain't nothing to do with Michael Pintard, you know. It has to do with the fact of how the former prime minister of the Free National Movement governed. And people have that bad taste in their mouth, you know. You don't want to hate Michael Pintard. Far as I can say, I would support Michael Pintard. But I know right now, the governing party, like I said, is doing a good job. They could do a better job when it comes to the people. I want to see them deal with poverty. I want to see them deal with housing. I want to see them deal with the roadworks. I want to see them deal with tree trimming. I want to see them deal with small business, marijuana possession, and et cetera. You know, these are the kind of things I want them to deal with, because these are the core things that I speak on when it comes to the BMN people. I represent the BMN people on these matters. You understand? So I want the government to focus more on these things. How are we going to empower the people? How are we going to clean up the streets? Okay, and then I want to just say this to Bremen. You know, I don't like to go back and forth. Me and Bremen ain't going back and forth. You know, you want to know the population, what it was by the time. You know, it wasn't 400,000. You know, back in the day, it was like 100,000+ when Sir Lyndon was in power. Okay, then we grew to about 400,000. Then if you look at it overall, there are about one or two, probably even two, 3 million Bahamian descendants that are all around the world that are Bahamian, but Bahamian descendants. I've never come back to the Bahamas, but we are Bahamian descendants. So if you look at it, we have probably 400,000 here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and we have the next 2-3 million abroad all around the world, Russia, United Kingdom, America, Canada, Rome, you know? Yeah, and to go back on this, okay. You know, when we're talking about homes in the community, like I said, these families that people talk about. What's your take on a house being in the community for 40 years? and just being there, stagnated, doing nothing. Okay? And the minute someone starts to clean it up, because it's a hazardous community now, I ain't saying taking the people's property, no. But you're taking responsibility because it's in your community. And you say to yourself that you've been living around there for so many years. This is what I've been doing in the community that I reside in. This is what I've been doing for the last 12, 13 years in my community. You know, I've been using resources I get from my private sponsors to go and remove the abandoned houses, cars, help clean up people's yard, side and front. And anyone can tell you this going on in Lewis Street, H Street, and Taylor Street area. How many abandoned houses have moved in that area? How many yards I've cleaned up over the years? Constantly, on and off, on and off. So, when people talk about house, how many people in that community, since they started cleaning up, saw me cleaning up and came and started to clean up their yard and fix up their house? All those abandoned houses you see getting fixed up in Lewis Street is because the efforts of a concerned citizen who is not looking to steal no one property. But to put the emphasis, this is a problem to us in the community. I'm going to take responsibility knowing that I don't see no one who owns this property here. Has been here in the last 15, 20 years and even has not even grabbed a rake. Has just passed the property. And by cleaning up, we forced the residents and homeowners to come. And some of them even tell me, "What do you like what you're doing? Keep the yard. Keep it clean. Okay? And do something useful." And that's what's happening now in the community because of the cleanup effort. So, it might seem like taking somebody's property, not to say you're taking, but the community residents have to take a responsibility to clean it up and force the owner's hand to come and make a difference. And if government cleans it down more than twice, it's government one. And if government's going to take it and turn it into something useful, like build a training center, then so be it. If they want to build a community center, so be it. If they want to build a low-cost home, so be it. Because you know, since the property staying there for 20, 30 years in the community, and the brother don't like one another, the sister don't like one another, the family members don't like one another, and it's serving no purpose. And the minute the brother go there, after 10 years, and you go to try and fix the door, you'd see the sister come to, "What are you doing?" Now, they ain't been there in 15, 20 years, but the minute one of those family members go there inside, fixing the door, fix up the house, it's a problem. So, yes, we have to take these precautions, but first of all, government should do the background check, see if there's living relatives. If they have no use for it, buy it from them, and then show them what you're going to do for the community. You know, and the opposition need to speak on these things. The opposition need to, Michael Penton, you need to speak on police brutality. You need to speak on the politicians supposed to give their accounts, how much finance they bring in every year. We need for you as the opposition leader, this is law. Bremen talk about upholding the law. Well, you as the opposition leader, well, put pressure on the government of the country, the prime minister and the deputy prime minister and all those ministers to give account on how much their earning is that they're supposed to tell the Bremen public, which they do not, which is a violation they're supposed to be fined. We want the opposition to speak like this. Michael Bennett, if you want to be a strong opposition and you don't want ministers out you, then you need to speak on matters. You need to speak on, like I said, housing. You need to speak on police brutality. You need to speak on things that are affecting the Bremen people. That's what we want you to speak on. But like I said, I don't feel the Free National Movement is going to win the next generation. I feel that if they could get themselves together under the leadership of Michael Pintard and just say, you know what, we're going to give it our all. We're going to try and build the confidence of the Bremen people. Let's see if we can get a couple of seats. And then, you know, you get a couple of seats, you have a strong voice. Because the government right now, as it stands now, I don't feel they're going to lose the general election. Not that it's important to me. I could care less because I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing in the Grand Sound community because whether the government come or go, as long as I have breath in my body, I still want to see the vision that God has given me. I still want to see that come true because there are so many people that can be helped. And I could see this through this initiative of empowering people with the tourism industry in the Grand Sound community. Okay? So again, I sense things. So when, like I said, when Brendan McCartney came out last 2 or 3 weeks and he made that statement, I came on radio that same week. You know, I have the last day of the week, that's Friday. So I'd be the last one to talk about things. But I hear what I discuss on Friday is be on all the shows from Monday. This show is actually spared the topic sometimes. Most of the time, it's the same show because I'd be on point. I might make some mistakes, you know, but everyone knows that I am all for the Bahamian people. I'm not about no money. I'm not about no power. Hey, I'm not about no publicity. I'm not about no fame. Hey, the only thing I'm about is see how we could climb together in this country and so that we could have one of the most beautiful, peaceful, fun, entertaining, small countries in the world where I could go on the beach and I could walk the streets at night and I could say, wow, you know, you can't hear a pin drop, you know, just so beautiful. And that's what I want. I want a better life for the citizens that live in this country. I want us to smile and talk to one another and help one another grow like what a nation's supposed to be, you know? So, yeah, again, I'm going to end on this. PLP, I think Brave Davis is going to do a second time because he's a humble man. I feel that Chester Cooper will inherit the leadership of the party. I feel that one day Chester Cooper will be the prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You know, in there, if Michael Pintard still be the opposition, he might could be able to, when, if the Free National Movement was able to secure some seat in the next general election, or if there's, if they be able to win the general election. But like I said, you know, everyone is saying the same thing. PLP is doing good business. The business world loves the PLP because of their attraction to bringing foreign investors to the country. You know, business people are happy. So, like I say, Chester Cooper, he's one day is going to be prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I could see it in him, you know. But right now, it's in the PLP favor. If the Free National Movement wants to make Hubert Minnis the leader of the Free National Movement Party, that's the council, that's y'all. But go on the streets. He might be more popular than Michael Pintard because you got to remember, Minnis was prime minister, so he have a lot of Stalin council delegates, guys on the streets who he gave contract to. So they're more loyal to him because Michael Pintard was not in position when he was the Free National Movement. He didn't have that kind of power. So Minnis still has the edge over Michael Pintard, and that's what Minnis is going to use on Michael Pintard. But if the Minnis thinks that's going to cause him to win the general election, he might win the opposition leadership, but to win the general election is not going to happen. It's going to go back to the PLP. And then after that, I think Brave is going to win a second time. Then it's going to be Chester Cooper. Pintard can't be successful. At the same time, you know, Brave is stepping down. You know, Brave is going to do 2 terms, I feel. I could be wrong, but I feel he's going to do 2 terms. And I feel that if they don't do too much scandals under the second term and they focus more on the people, they could do a 15-year stunt. With Chester Cooper stepping up from the deputy leader, the leader of the party, you know? So the future is bright. As for the Free National Movement, it looks like we want to go back to Hubert Alexander Minnis, which I think he deserves a second chance. I don't know. That's a tough one. After all, he put a shoe, boy. That's a bill to swallow. I mean, everyone deserves a second chance. But boy, I know if the Bahamian people will be willing to see you ever again as Prime Minister of this country, because guess what? A lot of people don't even remember your name, so honestly speaking. So my advice to the governing body and my advice to the opposition, Michael Pentad, speak on matters that is affecting the Bemidji people. You want to talk about police brutality, you want to talk about small business, you want to talk about the housing, you want to talk about all the stuff, okay? So we're completely out of time. I hope you enjoyed the show on Guiding Radio. I see no one calling. So I'm agreeing that everyone feel that the PLP is going to win the next general election. And I want to be the first to say that I think Chester Cooper is going to be a prime minister after Brave Davis to his second term. I feel that Michael Pintard, if he starts to be a strong opposition leader and stop just going at the top priority cases like with the government, go at the small things that is affecting us and start to speak on these stuff, eh? And start to help. And then you'll see traction. And then maybe this will be the traction that you need to become the next prime minister of the country. At the current state, it's not working. It's not working. And like I said, with the honorable prime minister, former prime minister, minister at the REM, I think you're already on a sinking ship. Stick with Michael Pintard. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guiding Radio 96.9. Some of the names, like I said, Scoochie, Scroogey, Governor, MP. They're the names that are given to me by people who respect me for what I'm doing as a radio show host, but most importantly, what I'm doing on the ground in my community. And that is not being a politician, but being a leader. A leader who cares for all and trying to provide a better future for the community residents that reside in the Grand Sound area. So I want to say good night to each and every one of you. I hope you enjoy the show. And I'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City on Guiding Radio, 96.9 FM. Good night, everybody.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bemidji people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, Bigger Bay, and Brown. Boy, I